That being said, one of the major issues we have with ovarian cancer in monitoring patients is the CA125 issue. That's something that I think a lot of people will be interested in looking at. Many clinical trials reflect what's in clinical practice, which is to utilize serum CA125 data to make decisions about whether a patient indeed has progressive disease. And traditionally, we think that this marker reflects disease status in some way. And in clinical practice, oncologists and patients tend to use CA125 data primarily in making decisions. In the absence of measurable disease, even in patients who are apparently clinically stable, have no evidence of disease progression by exam or by imaging, but have rising CA125 levels, many oncologists will discontinue current therapy and switch to another regimen. And I would definitely caution oncologists in doing this in patients treated with this drug, and it may be true of other drugs as well. But we have seen CA125 patterns in clinical practice that behave almost in a sawtooth pattern, where CA125 will kind of go up and down in such a way where on the way up you would be tempted to discontinue therapy, but we've been reluctant to do that. We've observed these patients and then re-imaged them and seen what looks like either stable disease or disease where there's a slight increase in the dimensions of target lesions that we've been following, but no evidence of other disease, and then seen subsequent regression of those areas with falls in CA125. And it's almost like having a star that's kind of flaring and then condensing. We see that in many patients that have prolonged disease stabilization despite these fluctuations in CA125. So I would definitely caution oncologists not to jump the gun in terms of discontinuing therapy just based on CA125, but at least establishing whether there's a trend in terms of clinical progression or at least a convincing trend in CA125 before discontinuing therapy.